Returning to our main story, which is the fate of New Zealand Red Cross nurse Louisa Akavi. An international law professor says the outlook for her is rather bleak. Louisa Akavi's capture by Islamic State more than 5 years ago was only revealed yesterday because the International Red Cross was appealing for information that could bring her home. News of Ms. Akavi's ordeal came 1 month after the Christchurch terror attacks. International law expert Professor Alexander Gillespie joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Was the Red Cross right to name her and for this all to come out into public?
I think they've hit the end of the trail. I mean, the Red Cross is neutral, it's impartial, and it works behind closed doors. They only go public when there's no other option. So I think right now, in their opinion, and you must remember that she's more of a Red Cross person than a New Zealand person in terms of importance over there, this is their last option to try to find her.
It can't be helpful to have this tension, disagreements between the Red Cross and the government, can it?
It doesn't help, but in fairness to all the players, the media, the government and the Red Cross, the fact that they've kept it under wraps for the last 5 years, if anything, has increased their longevity. That's been that action.
Of course, this all happens against the background of the mosque shootings of a month ago. Is there a risk, even a danger, that this gets conflated in some people's minds?
I don't think it will get conflated. I mean, the war against Islamic State is largely over. New Zealand's been a part of that coalition. And to associate any communities here with what's happened over there would be an extreme mistake.
You wouldn't expect that this might trigger amongst some Islamophobes the need, feelings for some form of retaliation?
It's certainly possible. I don't think it's likely, but to associate any Muslim communities here with what happened with Islamic State over there would be the same as suggesting that any white middle-aged man with a firearm could be associated with Christchurch. It just doesn't make sense.
So looking at the particular situation that she's in, it's clearly very tense. It's confused. There is a form of really chaos amongst all these camps. The best chances of finding her alive?
Keep your fingers crossed. Don't hold your breath. I mean, there's extreme chaos over there. There's literally millions of people in and around who are displaced. She could be in those groups, but as the authorities, the Syrians, the Iraqis and the Kurds gain control, they're finding who is there. That's how people like Mark Taylor turn up. The other option, though, is that as Islamic State still remains active in very small cells, she could have been sold to criminal groups because she still has a high economic value.
That is a worry, isn't it, that she has a value as a hostage and that's a monetary value?
And our policy, and it's the correct policy, is we don't pay for the return of hostages, because as soon as you pay for the return of hostages, you create an incentive for other New Zealanders to be made kidnapped.
Is that a danger?
If you pay hostage ransoms, it is, but that's a long-term policy. But other governments take a different view. Other governments in the short term, because of the risk of their citizens being executed in a very public way, will pay that money over. And we saw that with France, Spain and Italy. But other countries like ourselves, America, Australia, we won't pay for the hostages.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. That's international law professor Alexander Gillespie.